City Limits is a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media and is made possible thanks to generous grant support from the Central New York Community Foundation and the John Ben Snow Memorial Trust. Additional support also comes from Grossman St. Amour CPAs and listeners like you. To support the project, visit the City Limits About page at citylimitsproject.org.
I fit the description, as do many of the people I represent, and that description is Black.
At home and around the country, voices are crying out.
No justice! No justice!
Some are looking for answers.
So I tell you, accountability is necessary.
Others are pleading for change.
I'm not seeing yet a lot of coordination to get the work that needs to be done, done.
It's time to examine the harmful impacts of structural racism on society and shine a light on the social and cultural movements focused on social justice.
I am afraid for Black people. I am afraid for poor people. I am afraid for disabled people. I am afraid for trans people. And the list goes on.
This is City Limits, Winds of Change.
Welcome to City Limits, Winds of Change. I'm Joe Lee.
I am continually amazed by the way in which the subject of race can take itself in many places that we don't imagine it should be. I am always amazed by the way in which artists are willing to do that in their work.
Thelma Golden is the director and chief curator of the Studio Museum in Harlem, and that's from a 2013 TED Talk on how art gives shape to cultural change. In it, she speaks about how Black artists use their work to spark dialogue about race and culture. We see that playing out today here in Syracuse. On a sunny Saturday in September on the South Side, residents gathered in Kirk Park under the pavilion to use art as a way to express how they're feeling about racial injustice and the Black Lives Matter movement. Gathered around portable tables topped with easels, canvas, and paint supplies, participants wear masks and sit quietly 6 feet apart, focused on keeping brushstrokes within the pre-drawn templates. As they work on their projects at the Black Lives Matter images on the canvas, they contemplate what the movement means to them.
So how's it coming?
I'm gonna be here a while.
Do you have any artistic ability?
I do not have any artistic ability whatsoever.
Residents like Denise Baker.
I'm trying to describe and articulate a feeling in regards to how we struggle as a community, as a Black community, looking for a way to add a reference to the issues that Black women are going through at this particular time, and just showing the support, and that we want the support of our Black men during this Black Lives Matter movement. So just trying to figure out how to incorporate that into my image.
People are looking for an outlet to really express themselves in ways beyond, you know, just protesting. Protests come and go, but how can we continue this dialogue? How can we foster, right, a conversation that brings, people to a space where they can share ideas and concerns? And this is just one more way of doing it through outreach.
Tanisha Jackson is the executive director of the Community Folk Art Center, who collaborated with Drake Harrison and 100 Black Men of Syracuse on the Black Lives Matter paint party event.
The thing is to bring people together in terms of the social justice aspect, but use art as another vehicle to have that conversation and to get people to understand the depth and the depth and the breadth of what's happening in this country.
Like many parts around the country in recent weeks and months, Syracuse has been a city pulsating with protests and activism in response to police brutality against black people in urban communities around the country. And as national media coverage of marches and protests influence our perception of the movement, people like Jerry, a microbiologist in Syracuse, view events like this as a way to take control of the narrative.
There's different ways of protesting, right? From what the media portrays, how the media portrays black lives, is with rioting, they're giving us negative exposure, but this is also a way we're showing Black Lives Matter. We matter enough to come together as a community and to enjoy these moments and enjoy the soul music and all the laughter and just enjoying. So I think this, the riot, you know, as far as the protests, they serve their purpose, but so does this as well.
And as you lay paint to canvas with the images that are there, what's going through your mind?
It feels good to be doing this and you know, creating art, black art. There's beauty in black art. There's beauty in creating colors that create, you know, the nuances of black skin. And so I take pride in that. I take pride in not only painting something, but painting something that's meaningful. And these messages are things that we can bring up to our kids, to our future generations, of how we took a stand in this generation.
The goal is not necessarily to learn how to paint, although we have instructions from the artist, but it's to kind of go through a process of, you know, actually art making and then being cognizant of the themes at hand.
This movement for social justice and racial equity is taking root in the community as businesses and nonprofits and service organizations alike pledge their support to fight racism. On the front lines of the fight for social justice, black artists and arts organizations commit their work to help sustain the movement's message. Beyond content creation, they hope to provide a space for dialogue, understanding, and the grieving process.
What we do hope is that collectively there's been a lot of trauma and we haven't had the space. We've seen the rallies, we've seen the marches, but we haven't had a space to grieve together and to heal together and create art together and channel that energy also into creating that healing.
Kiana Williams, along with Chayla Surratt and Alice Queen, represent the Black Artists Collective, and they met with me at the WAER studios to talk about the mission of the BAC.
The mission is advocacy. The mission is visibility. The mission is policy driven. The mission is financial driven. Because I will return to the point I made before, is that unfortunately, though we have a lot of conversation about revitalization in our city and advocacy for different groups, we find that black and brown artists are often absent. So we are demanding a seat at the table, but we're doing that collectively.
Part of this advocacy work includes creating spaces and opportunities for artists to come together and grieve over black lives lost. The Say Their Names Memorial is one of those spaces.
It came to our attention that we have not collected names. We do not know here who are the people who have been affected, what black and brown bodies have been affected by police brutality and state-sanctioned violence. And in collecting those names, we can then help her identify policies, identify things that the police are doing in terms of use of force or training things that need to be changed so that we are not losing lives.
As much as we are reactionary, we are also proactive.
Black Lives Matter organizer Alice Queen.
And I think around the nation, because we've had all of these killings and all of this trauma that has been here, we have been trauma informed. We have been moving through trauma and not being very adamant about our healing and our grief process, because every time we're ready to grieve, there's something else to come back and fight for. So I think this space right here is it's a Black Lives Matter space. Black Lives Matter because we should be able to look at things and say, wow, let's grieve about this for a moment.
Alabama's got me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi gone down.
Historically, black artists have long played an integral role in racial justice movements by using their art and their voice to amplify anger and frustration. Nina Simone famously composed this song, Mississippi Goddamn, in less than an hour in 1964 in response to the killing of civil rights leader Medgar Evers and the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama. Writers like Amiri Baraka, who considered himself a black cultural nationalist, and Sonia Sanchez used their work to generate anger and move black people to fight against oppression during the black arts movement of the 1960s and 70s. and playwright August Wilson dedicated most of his career to dramatizing the Black American experience.
My voice is not just for singing and entertainment. I am not a Jim Crow.
Alice Queen.
I am a Black woman who is navigating the world. I am an artist who is navigating the world, and that is what my art is rooted in. It is rooted in social justice, and I'm using my voice for people who don't watch the news or people who don't want to listen to people say things about Black Lives Matter. I can sing a story, and then you're like, wow, is that really what it is? Let me go figure out. Let me go see what Black Lives Matter is about. Let me go see what we're fighting for.
In a sense, artists and arts organizations are moving beyond the status of content providers and are seeing themselves as a catalyst for social change. Arts organizations like Syracuse Stage have used the pause in operations caused by the COVID-19 shutdown to focus inward by having dialogue that asks what role the organization should play in addressing social injustice. Syracuse Stage Artistic Director Bob Hupp.
We've been very busy and very active talking about, you know, moving away from what can't we do to a conversation about what can we do. And that's the conversation that's dominated our thinking over the last several months. And looking at our nation and looking at events here in central New York and the national reckoning that is occurring around issues of equality and justice, our conversation at Syracuse Stage really focused on, as a nonprofit theater here in central New York, what can we do? You know, we want to be, we aspire to be a marketplace of ideas, of engagement. And so our focus really came to, let's focus on our area, on our city, on our region, and let's look at how we can positively contribute to the conversation around issues of justice and equality.
Bob says arts organizations have a history and legacy in helping communities digest issues in ways that other entities cannot.
We share common experiences through the arts. We can be challenged through the arts, and we can see things. The arts have a way of reflecting and refracting what's happening in our culture in ways that we might not experience through the way we, you know, take in information, whether it's through the news or reading or dialogue. But rather, when we experience things together through the arts, there we can focus on the issues that really matter. And the arts have, and they do have, a history of change in our country.
As traditional white art organizations begin to position themselves as allies in the movement for social justice, many, like Syracuse Stage, seize on a moment of self-reflection to address representation in their own industries.
We're seeing a change across the country. We're seeing BIPOC artists start to become now focused as leaders artistically on the management side in theaters across the country. I think it's a little slower to change in commercial theater, that is to say Broadway, than it is to see the change in regional theater, the nonprofit professional theater across our country. I know that it's something that Syracuse Stage is focusing on in our growth and evolution as an organization. I know that it is the most important topic in every theater across the country. And I do, in the last 6 months, and particularly over the course of summer, I do see significant and meaningful change in the leadership and decision-making positions in theaters across the country. And that's something that is long overdue and something that I think will have a lasting impact on the work and the evolving direction that theater takes in the future in our country.
Some see racial equity as the defining issue of our time. How we deal with the issue could determine the health and vibrancy of our communities. Art serves not only as a reflection of society, but also as a vehicle for elevating the message of equality and racial justice and encouraging political participation.
This Black Artist Collective is something that, especially in our Syracuse community, needed to happen. Firstly, we don't have something that exists like that here that is not tethered to a white institution. And so being able to create something like that and use it, I believe that there is longevity in it. And as you said and pointed out, all fronts, so Black Lives Matter supporting that, all the other organizations that we're partnering with for this event supporting us and keeping it going, in that it's not just a moment in time.
We are fighting so hard, and we're using all platforms. We're using our artistry and visual arts. We're using dancing. We're using our monologues and poetry, and all of that coming together becomes one voice, and it's just so beautiful once it all comes together. So that's what inspires me.
The expressive talent of artists continues to push against cultural narratives and inspire us in ways that traditional rhetorical devices alone rarely do. For many artists and arts organizations, art is a pathway to achieving racial equity in our institutions and in our lives, a path that stretches the boundaries and limitations of what is possible. For City Limits Winds of Change, I'm Joe Lee. Stick around for the next episode of City Limits to hear my full conversation with the Black Artists Collective.
Thanks for listening to City Limits, a production of WAER Syracuse Public Media. Find more from this series at citylimitsproject.org and subscribe in Apple Podcasts for automatic delivery of new episodes.